This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Alrighty, welcome to a Friday. Busy Memorial Day weekend plans ahead, and it may include getting out on the Columbia and enjoying a little recreation. We're going to talk about safety out on the water, and joining us from Chelan PUD, we have Kirby Reinhardt, who's a operations superintendent, and also in our second half hour, we are going to tell you about, my notes are a little too far away, but the Cashmere Historic Home Tour with benefits, the proceeds benefiting the Cashmere Museum, where they're celebrating a 60th anniversary. That's coming up in our second half hour. But I want to say hello to Kirby Reinhardt, who's been with the Chelan PUD for how many years, Kirby?
33 years, Dave.
33 years, getting close to retirement, I would think.
We'll have to check with the wife. We're closing in on it, yeah.
Okay, see what the boss says.
That's right.
All righty. Well, an operations superintendent with the Rocky Reach project and also Lake Chelan?
That is correct. Yeah, I'm responsible for Lake Chelan. We have a small hydro up at Stehekin also, north end of the lake, that we are also responsible for.
How often do you get up there?
Well, probably three or four times a year. The crews get back and forth a little more often. It's a wonderful little facility, but it's islanded all by itself, so it does take a little special care.
I was up there last summer and definitely saw some PUD guys up there doing something. There's probably crews up there from time to time as the project needs, or are they up there all the time?
Well, we have our annual maintenance that is kind of periodical, and then we have our unplanned. A lot of times our lineman folks need to go up. We have a lot of tree issues with our lines distribution system, and they try to be preventive, try to do some tree trimming as well to prevent some of that. But Mother Nature sometimes gets us, and we just need to respond.
Well, we want to remind folks that they want to be safe out on the water, and I know safety on the water near the hydro projects is a chief concern for Chelan PUD.
Yes, very important to us. Perhaps we just start with Lake Chelan. We'll kind of work our way down. Lake Chelan, we're currently at about a 1093.
That's an elevation.
Elevation of our lake. And we're probably 6-7 feet from where we'd like to be. And we're on track to get there. But as weather gets nice and people start to get out there, we have a lot of our boat launch information so people can safely understand what the lake level is and what best boat launches to use. Lake temperature is around 57. So as we get excited and the ambient temperatures do get warmer, the lake level is, our lake temperature is still pretty cold. So we'd ask people to be careful with that.
We were running a story today that vessels under 21 feet, open vessels, motorboats, kayaks, things that you're paddling, those are the things most susceptible to tipping over. So wear your life vest. But what about right now, particularly with a power boat and heading on the lake? How's the debris on the surface right now?
Yeah, our flows, we're having a light snow year, and we're expecting fairly low runoff. And with that, we'll probably have less debris than usual. But as always, in these spring months, as the tributaries pick up and as those flows start to begin, we can see debris in the lake. So it's a great point to really be careful and keep an eye out for it.
And wear those life vests. The water is very, very cold right now, and it kind of triggers kind of a gasping reflex that can contribute to you getting in trouble and not a good outcome.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the whole process of raising the level. There's a level in the bathtub, so to speak, mm-hmm. that you're required to bring that level up to. How does that whole process begin and get accomplished?
It's quite the balancing act. We have certain requirements within our license that we need to follow, and we have our energy planning team working with local clubs and recreational and some of the businesses up there in Chelan, trying to make sure that we're meeting all those needs. The biggest challenge is Mother Nature. As we get our snow and we get our snowpack levels and our water concentration of that snow, and then how Mother Nature decides that it wants to come off. A warm spring, a cooler spring, a possible warm rain can dramatically start to influence. So we try to monitor that very closely. We want to maximize that water through our generation, minimize the spill, and it can be kind of a tricky balancing act. But we really do want to meet those recreational goals as well.
Now, folks want to be able to enjoy the use of their docks and all of that, but it's really, in other words, there's kind of a different, the water is not flattened from one end of the lake to the next. That's how vast the surface level is.
It is.
Kind of an interesting concept, isn't it?
It really, really is. And we do have certain limitations with our spill that we want to consider. If we spill too much, if we get past about 6,000 cubic feet per second, we start to run into some issues of concern of erosion in the gorge area that affects some of our residents along that area. And we also have some critical fish equipment down by the Columbia River that also can be impacted. So as we try to balance out that lake level and the raising of the lake, we don't want to get too aggressive, because then unfortunately we might have to get aggressive with our spill, and that's not a good sign.
So it's like a big bathtub, correct?
Exactly.
So we're talking with Kirby Reinhardt, who's operations superintendent, kind of talking a little bit about Lake Chelan. What about operations on the Columbia? You work with Rocky Reach real closely as well. What about staying safe where we're operating our boats, enjoying a little recreation? I don't know that there's a whole lot of water skiing going on right now, but in terms of for folks that may be new to our area coming over to visit, what are some things to keep in mind to operate safely?
Yeah, we're very proud of the parks and the boat launches that we have associated with our hydroelectric projects. As we ask people to at least still, again, look at our web pages, we can kind of show different flows that we've had. We'll keep track of that hourly for the past 12 hours. We'll also show the water temperature and also the boat ramp elevations. But one thing we really want people to be aware of is our situation with Rocky Reach and Rock Island. We are considered a run of the river. And to try to explain that, it's probably best to say, with Rocky Reach, we have a certain amount of storage. And Wells has twice as much storage, the dam above us. Chief Joe above them have four times as much. And then Grand Coulee is 5 million acre feet compared to our 36,000. It's huge. So they have days, sometimes weeks, of storage. We literally have hours, maybe minutes, of storage. So as they pass that water down to us, we need to generate it or spill it. And sometimes when water elevations or water flow gets high enough, we can't generate all, and we will have to spill. And so when folks are enjoying the river, which we want them to do, we need to respect that distance and stay below the 400 feet. We have signage, and we have some buoys out there to safely show them. And because at any time, we might have to start to spill. And when we start to spill, that water gets pretty aggressive, pretty rough. And we'd like to make sure that no one is in that hazardous area.
Kirby, what do you anticipate are going to be conditions on the river in those areas, say, this weekend? We've got some cooler weather. And based on what you kind of anticipate maybe happening upriver, it's not going to be real hot, but it may be stormy. Those are all kinds of things that can happen, or is it anybody's guess? It may be anybody's guess for us, but you as a professional, what do you expect might be happening on the river this weekend, per se?
Yeah, typically on the weekends, especially the holiday weekends, we can expect to back off flows a little bit, and a lot of the hydro projects are trying to maintain a balance of that elevation to ensure safe recreation. This weekend, it does appear to be fairly mild temperatures now. So now all of a sudden, our flows should be fairly mild. We should be able to generate everything through the powerhouse and have no spill. Again, just please, respect those distances. I know these large concrete structures are very curious. I know that we have fishing season coming up, and we've worked very closely with some of the local fishing clubs, too, to say that is exciting to get close to the fish ladders in those areas, but there is a state law requiring that 400 feet. We want people to respect that also, and we have that well documented with our signage and everything on the banks. So, yeah, this weekend I'm hoping it'll be a fairly mild weekend. I would ask people to consider, too, some of the shorelines. As we get to enjoy those, we still have the possibility of having water fluctuation on the beaches. And I'm a boater. I've been out there, and I have got caught before with my boat a little bit too far out of the water. And so I would ask people to say, please keep an eye every 20 or 30 minutes on your boat. And as you see those four-bay fluctuations, adjust your boat mooring appropriately.
So if you go to chelanpud.org, what's the location you want to be looking for to see the water conditions and flow conditions and all that great information and resource for folks recreating on the river.
Mm-hmm. We actually have a specific site there. It's fishing and boating, and it even has below Rocky Reach, which has a great map that shows the different signage, and we have our juvenile fish outfall pipe that is very curious to some folks, but you know that is also fairly dangerous. It has about 300 CFS, about 18 tons of water coming out of it. So again, just be respectful. We want to make sure that everyone can boat safely around those kind of obstacles.
All right. So coming up tomorrow is a fun event. It's called Kids Fest. It runs from 10 till 1. That's going to be at Walla Walla Point Park. And I understand a lot of hands-on learning activities for kids. But while you're there, I know that you can participate and fill out some of the survey information for Chelan PUD working on their strategic planning. And shouldn't take too long to do that. I know the survey is being collected up until like June 21st. What kind of information do you hope to learn that helps you do your job, Kirby?
Well, it's interesting because we've done this quite a bit over my career, and a lot of it has been internal with some external input. I know that our current general manager, along with our commissioners, are very interested to make sure that the Chelan County residents have a real say in that strategic plan, which we really appreciate. And we get some great ideas, that some of us have been there for a long time step over, you know. And so we're really excited to get that input and see what kind of ideas can help us not just for tomorrow but for the next 5 years in that strategic plan time period.
So if you go to Walla Walla Point Park tomorrow, if you have kids, that'll be from 10 till 1. Kids will have a good time, and while they're enjoying that, you can fill out some survey information there. You could be entered to win a Fitbit, always a great prize. But if you go to ourpublicpower.org, starting today, that survey is also available online. Again, ourpublicpower.org. And survey is being collected up through June 21st. So I'm dying to ask you, as the operations superintendent for PUD, there's always someone down at the PUD watching or all the dam facilities, watching the computers and all of that. Are you watching the guys down there with the computers, the guys and gals down there with the computers? Are they literally watching what's happening with the storms and water coming into the river? I mean, is it essentially that? And how do you decide how much water to come through and spill? How do you manage that? I think of the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. How does that process physically happen?
It's really a challenge because even though we have decades of information that we can actually learn from, it doesn't necessarily help us into the future. And so as we try to predict, and again, we've got about an hour and 45 minutes from what wells discharges, so it gives us some time to adjust and adapt. And obviously our marketers are trying to maximize the value and the efficiency of the units. We're trying to make sure that our fish passage is appropriate, making sure all environmental requirements are met. So it is quite a balancing act. One thing that we have not figured out is Mother Nature. You know, when we get a warm rain on these early spring months, it can dramatically change things. And the 96-97 season, when we had 360,000 down the river and 40,000 out of the Wenatchee, was just something we'd never seen before. So we're prepared for that, and we try to respond appropriately. We also try to look back daily to scrutinize ourselves and see what we could do to improve. We want to be efficient with water. We definitely want to be very safe with our environmental requirements. But we always have areas to learn and improve.
So they tell you what they need to do. You tell the next PUD down the line, Grant, and so on and so forth. It's just a constant series of communications back and forth.
It really is. A lot of balancing. Again, with Grant, they have a little more storage than we do. So as we have to pass whatever wells pushes down, Grant does have a little more ability to be able to see what we're pushing, but also they can store a little more before they have to pass it. So Rocky Reach and Rock Island are incredible facilities. We really, really love them, but they are the small little brothers on the river. And so we pretty much just have to pass whatever they give us. We do try to coordinate up and down the river to maintain efficiencies. So, yeah, we're constantly communicating.
All right. Interesting. Kirby Reinhart joining us. He is operations superintendent with Rocky Reach, also Lake Chelan, and the Stehekin project as well. Thanks for a little bit of a behind-the-scenes glimpse as to what's going on to make sure everything's all balanced out, but also with some very important safety reminders. Again, check those water flows and what's expected on the river if you're recreating, and let's make sure everybody is safe. Tomorrow, 10 to 1, Walla Walla Point Park is the Kids Fest going on there, and you're taking your kids down there. Make sure you take the opportunity to help shape Chelan County PUD's future. Take the time to fill out a survey to help with strategic planning. You could win a Fitbit if you aren't going to be down there. Fill out the survey online, ourpublicpower.org. It's available starting today online and collected through June 21st. Kirby, great to meet you. And we'll maybe talk to you again sometime about operations on Chelan PUD. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
All right. There's going to be a great tour of historic homes around the Cashmere area, and we'll tell you about that event to benefit the Cashmere Museum's 60th anniversary next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. And as you head into your busy Memorial Day weekend, I'd like you to save the date for next Saturday, and that's going to be June 1st. The Cashmere Historic Home Tour is coming up. And joining us, we have the museum director, Lexi Palmer, and also organizer of the historic home tour. We have Nancy Fike. Ladies, thanks for joining us, and appreciate you coming in to tell us about it's timed for the 60th anniversary of the Cashmere Museum.
Yes, that's correct.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
In. Yeah.
If you've never been to the gem of a museum, maybe this is the perfect time to kind of take in a great event. I think for a lot of folks, maybe they've been out during the Pioneers Day event or something like that. But,
yeah, our Apple Days event in October, yeah. So we opened in 1959, and so this is indeed our 60th anniversary. And Nancy came to us about a year ago saying that she wanted to put together this event, this historic home tour, and that she would have all the proceeds go to benefit the museum, which was so generous of her. So we've been working together on this. Nancy's really done the lion's share of the work to put this together, securing the houses, doing the flyers, working with securing funding from GTC technical support, and working with her friend who has done a fantastic job on the graphics. Her name is Connie. And so we're really looking forward to this, getting to see the insides of these beautiful old historic homes in Cashmere.
Nancy, shepherding this thing along, how did the idea come to you, Nancy?
Well, I've always loved old homes my entire life. And we used to go to the Wenatchee Museum's historic home tour. They've had one most years, although I believe they're not having one this year. All the more reason to come to Cashmere. It's one of my favorite things to do. My husband and I, when we go on vacations, we find the old home, and then we start driving or walking through the historic homes. It's just something that I love.
You're fascinating. You and I were visiting out in the lobby a couple of minutes ago. I get an email from one of the real estate firms, and it just shows the houses that are for sale, and I spotted one that was, I think, a home built 106, 107 years ago. And, you know, they see all the pictures, and it was neat to see that it was all period, to more than a century ago. So they are fascinating. One of the homes on the tour is your home.
That's right. We just stuck it on there because it is 1910, and we want to get this rolling. We'd love to have it be an annual event. Several of the homes belong to my friends.
Well, I was looking on the flyer, and you've got a, I would assume, a present-day picture, but a picture that shows likely the owners back you know what vintage this picture is?
I believe it's around 1915.
Wow.
And I knew the great niece of a woman who lived in our home previously, and she was kind enough to give me several photographs.
It's a great great picture of the house, and she is in kind of a period dress, as you'd imagine, a long white flowing dress. He looks like he's probably an orchardist. In fact, it looks like probably fruit trees surrounding the house.
It was 10 acres, more or less, with apple trees.
There you go. What else would it be? Well, it might be pear trees, too. But,
back then, I think it was apples.
They were all apples. So how many homes are on the tour? What vintage homes will you see?
So there are six private homes on the tour. The tour starts at the museum. You can get your ticket there, and your ticket gives you a wristband, an event wristband. You won't be able to get into the houses without it. You'll also get booties like to cover your feet as you walk through people's houses. You will get a brochure with information about the houses as well as a map. And three of the houses at the museum will be open for people to go to actually walk into and through. So the Richardson Cabin, the Waithman Cabin, and the Horan Cabin will have people sitting in those cabins all day. And then, of course, we're also featuring our water wheel, this Burbank, also known as vernacularly around here, known as the Stoffel Water Wheel, which is being refurbished this year, also in honor of our 60th. And so you'll come to the museum, get that information, see those places, and then start on your way. And it's a self-directed tour, so you can begin at the beginning or begin at the end, whichever you fancy. And it goes, sort of stretches out. There's a house on Riverfront. There's a house on Cottage. And then there's a house out on, there are houses out on Hinman and Tigner in that area. So
and it'll, there's one on Pioneer.
And one on Pioneer, yep, exactly. And so it'll take you through sort of on a trip through Kashmir, which I think is lovely. Yeah.
How hard was it to find people willing to open up their century-old homes to the tour, Nancy?
That was probably the hardest part. Like I said, most of them I knew the owners. I did spend some time this late winter knocking on doors, and that didn't work. I also mailed a bunch of letters, and people mostly didn't respond. So we're going to rally the troops after this one is over and figure out how to do that. Hopefully, just having the tour, people will be interested to put their home in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the timing was bad for them.
Sometimes I think people just also need to see what something entails, how it's going to all play out in order to feel comfortable with that. Because it is asking a lot to allow the public to go through your house. But
well, I think you've already got a great start with
the number
of homes that you
Nancy's
have.
Nancy's done a wonderful job doing this, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think you did a great job in what you've already got, and if there are more in the future, that's awesome. What is it that you appreciate about seeing the historic homes? They just don't build them that way anymore, and it is a lost design. I mean, most of the time these are to see them, you maybe have to go to a bed and breakfast type situation. You just don't see houses like this.
Well, we own a 1910 home, and my husband's a builder, and we renovated it. It was trashed. In fact, we rescued our home about 3 days before the Kashmir Fire Department was going to use it as practice to burn it down. It was so bad, but it had all the great bones. So what we appreciate is the beautiful wood. You know, it's vertical grain fir. As builders, we just love that stuff.
Did you get in touch with like restoration hardware and outfits like that to find all the period pieces that you could?
We actually purchase some light fixtures from them. But there was a lot of original stuff in the home, all the trim, several light fixtures, the floors.
Everything. How long did it take you to restore it?
years.
Yeah. Are you done yet? Is that a fair question? There's always something more to do, I would guess.
Yeah, there's always something more to do.
Yeah, well, good for you.
But
and
thank you
for rescuing it and coming up with this idea. It's a 60th anniversary. You said the museum was opened in 1959, and I went, well, that's the year I was born. So thanks for reminding.
Well, happy 60th.
thanks for reminding me. Nancy's saying, me too. So 60 years for the Kashmir Museum.
Yes.
And so the proceeds benefit the museum. What are you trying to do or improve? Or I guess there's always something to fund.
Yeah, there is. There is. We don't have any specific plans for this. There's not necessarily any one particular thing, but we are looking at buying new display cases. We are looking at strengthening our endowment. We are looking to increase the number of classes that we offer. So this is really a fantastic way to start to create an account to start, you know, looking beyond what we've been doing and trying to expand what we can do. So I just wanted to say quickly that I took a tour of Nancy's house, like behind the scenes tour, when we had a woman, Susan Langston from the Good Life magazine, do an article on Nancy's house. And it was so beautiful. The bones, as Nancy said, the bones of the house were incredible to begin with. And then she and her husband have just done so many wonderful restorations that really honored the house. And then her husband has this great, really humorous way of doing brick work, which I know sounds like a strange thing to say, but if you see it, it looks so good. Like little creations from his imagination. So it's such a great, beautifully restored house.
Well, the Kashmir Historic Home Tour, first event ever, and hopefully more to come. Saturday, June 1st, it runs from 10 till 4. It is self-guided, and we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get you all the particulars on how to get tickets. You can get them as a member of the general public or at a discount if you're a Kashmir Museum member. You can get them in advance or on the day of the event. We'll get you all those particulars when we come back in just a few minutes on the agenda. News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:46.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
All right, something fun for you coming up a week from this Saturday. It's the 60th anniversary of the Kashmir Museum this year, and they're having their first ever Kashmir Historic Home Tour. And joining us, we have Museum Director Lexi Palmer and the organizer of the brains behind this wonderful idea. Let's tour some historic homes in the Kashmir area, Nancy Fike. So Lexi, how do you get tickets?
Yes, so you can get them in advance of the event by coming to the museum. You can also call us and pay with a credit card. We had hoped to facilitate getting them online, but we weren't able to do that prior to the start of the event. So the two ways to do it are to come to the museum either before or on the day of, or give us a call at 509-782-3230, and we will be happy to hold them for you, or you can pick them up.
Yeah, if you spotted one of the flyers, it kind of suggests that you could get the tickets online, but again, that link didn't work out. So 782-3230, 782-3230 is the number for the museum. And again, the website, kashmirmuseum.org, for more information on this event. It is Saturday, June 1st, self-guided tour of the tour of historic homes, and including all kinds of great behind-the-scenes access at the museum on Saturday, June 1st from 10 till 4. I hope you get a great turnout. We should mention, if you're a member of the Kashmir Museum, tickets are $15. If you're a member of the general public, it is $20. But again, that will benefit the Kashmir Museum's 60th anniversary this year and help with all kinds of important projects there as well. Exactly. Nancy Fike and Lexi Palmer, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much
for having us.
And I hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for filling us in on this great project.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
All righty. We're going to talk on Monday with Tim Iman, the initiative king. I guess he's been crowned over the last few years, but also Hillary Franz, who is the Public Lands Commissioner. We're going to talk about drought and fire danger. That's all coming up on Monday's, Tuesday's edition of the agenda. Unless I show up Monday to do it, but they're going to be here Tuesday, and you all have a pleasant weekend. 12:53 now.